turn with me to Psalms 56. Psalm 56. We had looked at a different psalm, Psalm 16, that was also in mention of David, and we talked about that at that time. This is also called a golden psalm or a confident prayer for help. The timing that as we read Psalm 56 is David is when has fled from Saul into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines take him in Gath and take him before the king. And the story of that is in 1 Samuel 21. And as he's taken before the king, he pretends to be, he plays a crazy man, lets the spittle run into his beard. The king says, "Why do you bring this guy before me? Do I have need of this in my house? Do I have need of him in my house?" And the king rebukes the people that brought David before him. And it saved David's life, his actions and his activities saved his life, and he went to a different place. But the feeling of it is that he wrote Psalm 56 after his escape out of at Gath, and his prayer involving all of that. It's also called a silent dove in distant lands. And then remembering that a mitchum is a contemplation or a looking thoughtfully at something for a long time. Basically deep reflective thought. So as David is contemplating the circumstances of his life and what he had just been through and what he had just escaped out of, he writes, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O Thou Most High, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape my iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me. O God, I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Heavenly Father, O God, as we study your word tonight, do open our eyes and our ears to hear and see you high and lifted up. Lord, we ask for your understanding, your wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. He starts out the psalm with a plea, and how often do we go before God, even as David did, and request the mercy of God? His plea is to be full of mercy. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." And we understand that God is very rich in his mercy. We understand that God has a lot of mercy. And the first thing that David does is he throws himself on the mercy seat. He then names his enemy. Verses 1 through 2, he says, "For man would swallow me up." He fighting daily oppresseth me. You ever been in a position where there seems to be constant bickering, constant fighting, discord, and that whole atmosphere? Because of where you work, or because of the folks who you work with, or whatever the case may be, and how tired you are when you go home. And how exhausted. And he's having that same thing as David is doing it, though. Remember, he is being pressed on one side by the Philistines. He's doing everything in his power to prevent the Philistines from abusing his people. He's anointed king. Saul is the king. But David has been anointed king. And you see throughout 1 Samuel how he does things. And he protects the children of Israel, even though he's not the king yet. Even though he's fleeing for his very life. And Saul is chasing him. And it's almost as if he takes a moment out of running from Saul to deal with an issue that somebody else is having with the Philistines. But in addition to the Philistines pressing him on one side, and I'm confident that they were chasing him themselves, that they had spies out looking for him, that they sent armies out after him because he had done very many things against them. Saul said, hey, if somebody will go do this, they can have my daughter. They can have up to half the kingdom. David said, you know what, that'd be a pretty good deal. So he went out and killed a bunch of Philistines and presented it before Saul, and now he's married. Most of us guys would be single still if requirements for marriage were thrown like that on us. But as he's got that going, and you know that the Philistines didn't like him, but in addition to that, Saul can't stand him. Saul is typical of people who are given position and then abuse it, in that he can't stand somebody who actually leads in a godly manner. They're trying to steal my position. And kings were as kings were back then, and it was common practice. If you had any possibility at the throne, you were the second son. And dad dies, very strong possibility that the oldest son was going to get you before you could get free of him. So he has these two forces pushing on him. He has this enemy that's fighting against him. In verse number 2, my enemies would daily swallow me up. Any day, from moment to moment, his very life is in danger. In his prayer, there isn't a moment's rest. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. He starts out with his prayer, be merciful, and then he continues with the thought of, God, you're the one. You're in charge, you're on the throne, and I cast myself before you. As we study and as we look at Psalms 56, we ought to also apply it to ourselves as Christians, and in that, do we not have the same thing? Daily, should we not be throwing ourselves upon the mercy of God? Oh, I'm already saved. I already have His grace and mercy upon me. And that's good for today, but what about tomorrow? What about our enemies? Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, for they be many that fight against me, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They be many which fight against. If we talked about this earlier with Frank and Serena, how as long as we're not making a decision, as long as we are a double-minded man, is unstable in all his ways, as long as we're double-minded and we refuse to make a decision, God can't help us move forward. But Satan also really doesn't care about us. We're really no threat. But oh, the minute we make a decision, oh, I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to be there Sunday morning. I'm going to be there Sunday night. I'm going to be there Wednesday night. When the doors are open, I'm going to be there. I'm going to start going to soul winning. I'm going to do, and isn't it like that all of a sudden? Everything seems to go wrong. You make a decision to get out of debt. What seems to happen then? Everything in their uncle breaks down and you're spending money that you thought you, oh, finally, I'm going to have money at the end of the month. I'm going to pay this bill off. And then we just have a short time left and then something breaks. And you're going, wow, Lord, have mercy. Be merciful unto me. I missed one and two, but number one was the plea, number two was the enemy, and number three is the confidence. He doesn't just complain after begging for mercy and then complain about the Lord, you need to know what's going on. But he then expresses confidence. Verse 3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Lord, if there's a moment in my life when daily they fight against me, during those times when I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. He's confident and he makes a decision and understanding that once we make a decision, Satan now has to direct some attention toward us. We move from down low on the list of priorities to a top on the list in priorities. Because he knows if we make a decision for God, we're going to make a decision that will affect his defeating somebody else's life. And he says the confidence in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What time I am afraid. Adventures and Odyssey used to enjoy listening to those with the kids, the little stories that they would tell on the radio and stuff. And the one young man was having problems with a bully, and he every time he tried to walk home, he had to walk through this one part that was kind of forestry, and it bothered him, and it caused him concern. And so one of the other characters said, well, here's this verse. If you'll lean on Jesus and use this verse and see God's power. And so the next day he's walking through that part of the forest, and he starts hearing noises. And if you've ever been in the forest by yourself and you don't hear noises, there's something seriously wrong fixing to happen. The only time the birds are quiet in the forest is before a storm. So he starts quoting that verse, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as he's walking, he gets louder and louder, saying it louder and louder. Well, that bully was hiding in the woods waiting for him to walk by. And he hears this and he goes, well, that kid's crazy. And backs off and doesn't do anything to him. And he makes it all the way through the woods and excited about God's power in his life. And we ought to be the same way as we, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Confidence. In spite of the apparent troubles, in spite of the apparent issues with his enemies, power and love and of a sound mind. Isaiah 59, verse number 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. God fights battles for us. David understood that when he threw himself on the mercy of God, that God was going to fight a battle for him, that God was going to stand up for him, that God was going to place a standard. If you picture in your mind, if you've ever been to the ocean or seen pictures of the ocean and the waves coming in, and they'll put out jetties out into the ocean to help protect the beach where they'll put out and they'll build out a deal and put a lighthouse on a on it to warn ships of things. And God sets a standard like that lighthouse out there, and when the waves come, they break and go around. And God holds up a standard against the enemy. We know that that hell can't prevail against the church. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And we know that, and we use that, but what confidence do we have that God will be victorious? Matthew 10:28, God says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Verse number 4, he says, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." In God. Every time we pay for something in cash, we ought to start putting that on our credit cards. I think we would use them a lot less. When we pay for something in cash, what does our dollar bill still say? Even in spite of the efforts to get it removed, in God we trust. When we pay for something, are we paying for it with the intention that, God, I'm trusting that when I pay for this, that you'll take care of me for everything else that I can't afford to pay for? When we put our money in the offering plate, and God, I trust that money not only will be used right, but that God will double it and we'll see souls saved, but the money that I am giving back to him, the money that I am giving up for him, that he'll look over me, watch out for me. David gets in after verses 3 and 4 with the confidence and gets into the complaint again. Renews his complaint about these folks who are oppressing him, who are causing him issues. In verses 5 through 6, he says, "Every day they wrest my words. They turn my words. They twist them. They say things, oh, would you would not believe what David said." Running back to Saul and making up things about Saul. And if you read the passage in 1 Samuel 21 before this, David has been running from Saul. His men are hungry. He goes to the temple and he says, "What do you have to eat? We're hungry here." And he's given some showbread, and one of Saul's servants is there. And he runs and quick tells Saul, "They wrest my words. They twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil." Every thought, we often wonder what other people are thinking about us. We need to understand that 80% of the people don't care about what is going on in our life, and the other 20% are glad we have whatever issue is going on in our life. Most people aren't thinking about us. Why not? Because they're thinking about themselves. But David understood that any thoughts that they did have of him were against him. They thought evil for him. They desired to see him fail. They desired to see him stumble. And I'm confident that we might not know about it, but I'm confident that each and every one of us has somebody in our life, somebody in our circle of quote-unquote friends or acquaintances who would be excited if we stumbled, if we failed at some endeavor, if we were less than successful in something that we were excited about, if we didn't get a promotion, or if we got in trouble. Verse 6, he says, "They gather themselves together." They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. If my steps, in Psalms 118, verse number 31, order my steps in thy word, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And in as he writes that in Psalms 118, verse 133, he's desiring that his steps are ordered by God. My steps are ordered by God. But he's desiring that, but they're watching. They're hiding in the bushes. They're waiting to see if he'll slip, if he'll do a sidestep. All of this is written long before he went and stayed home when the men went to